our ladies' camps in the past had been at Pahama Lodge. And if you get out there early morning, even if it's very cold, there's a whole way at the back where you go and you walk and there's Bokikis daar and the grass and your feet are nice and wet. And God loves walking with you at that place. Ah, it's good time. So when I found out Boss of Grobler's got anything to do with Bahama Lodge, I was already positive. Hello, Boss of, how are you doing?
Hello, Janine. Good and you?
Just to find out that that's like a teeny, teeny, tiny bit of what you do in life. So let's, besides the whole business aspect of who you are, Boss of the guy, the normal guy, before the first coffee, met die pantoffels aan at home, who are you?
I have found that it's the easiest way to introduce yourself by giving people your statistics.
Oh.
Not to be confused with measurements, but your statistics.
Thank goodness.
So the quickest way before a cup of coffee is I can give my statistics. It's 1-1-3-3.5. 1-1-3-3.5. So I serve one God. I met him when I was 9 years old, invited him into my life. And then I served him for most of my life, except for a teenage walkabout that I did for a few years. I'm married to one wife. Her name is Blader, like the Blader River. And I just love that woman to bits.
I love the name. Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful name, yeah. And then our kids are three kids, 27, 20, and 18. And the Lord has positioned me in three spheres of operation, into social entrepreneurship, corporate entrepreneurship, and spiritual entrepreneurship. And the half is for a half-time process that he's taken me through in the past 3 years. I was a financier, banker for 25 years, and the Lord said, Klaar, we are going to now do other things, and we are going to redeem finance and money and risk-taking and entrepreneurship back to him. So that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years.
Can I ask a stupid question then?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what's the difference between social entrepreneurship and corporate entrepreneurship. Just distinguish a bit here for normal people.
So firstly, entrepreneurship is a creative way of solving big issues in a capitalistic money way.
Okay.
So that's entrepreneurship in my definition. Now, God is Jehovah Elohim. So he is creator God. He is creative God. So he has got all the capacity in the world to create new solutions to old problems in the way of business.
Mm.
So that adventure of entrepreneurship has got three expressions. There's three ways, three places that he does that. He does that in large corporate places. So that's corporate entrepreneurship where people like me step in and we say, God wants to do a new thing here. Allow me to build a new business, even though this is already a large organization, corporate entrepreneurship. Sorry. Then there is social entrepreneurship, something that can create a solution to a social ill, but in a profit way.
Okay.
So there's a lack of work or there's poverty, and then you create a solution for it. So take Pahama Lodge as an example. There's a lot of people that come together in spaces for healing. So take a marriage camp or a women's camp.
Yeah.
Now, many times my wife and I have been to a few marriage camps and we go to horrible places. We're not angry at each other when we go there, but when we come back, we're angry because the bed is like really not nice to sleep on. The food isn't great. There isn't enough food. The water is cold. And we wanted to create a place where marriages that are really struggling or marriages that need healing or just two people coming together, just needing some time away from the kids.
Mm.
And we created a model of 60% of our conferencing is corporate conferencing. So that profit we don't take into our family. That profit we then subsidize and bring the price down for people that want to come onto marriage camps or onto youth camps. So that is an example of social entrepreneurship. Social problem that you solve through a capitalistic way. And then spiritual entrepreneurship is a similar type of thing. The Lord is reshaping the church as we know it in new ways, in differentiated ways. The way that we do church after COVID, totally different to the way before COVID.
It's true.
And the churches that are trying to redo pre-COVID is really struggling. So that risk-taking, new, adventurous, experiential, new way of doing things, we call spiritual entrepreneurship. creating new ways of doing things in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, in the church world, in ministry.
I've always felt, I mean, if God's mercy is on you every morning, why do we love our rut so much? Why do we have to keep on doing things the exact same way because it worked last time, and we will not stop doing it until they really and truly fail, and then we only... And obviously, if this is something that's burning on your heart, it's something that you see as something we need to address business-wise, socially, and spiritually in our country. Or if you look at what you see, looking from the outside in sometimes at South Africa, and let's take it as the Christians at this moment, what is it that you see?
So I wrote a whole master's dissertation on this question. So you didn't know that, but it's a godly question then. So I did a study at a business school in France where they put a master's in business and a master's in psychology together. And then they said, go and write a thesis about what you see in the world. So I wrote a thesis about this question, two questions. Why does socioeconomic inequality in South Africa just continue and continue and continue, and we know the devastating effects of it? So why does it continue? Mm. And then the question is, if you have the answer to that question, what would activate somebody to do something about it? So
very interesting question, yeah.
Then I only did that from a psychological perspective. So it was the first study of its kind that spoke about socioeconomic inequality from a psychological perspective. And then I only spoke with Christians, because what I couldn't get was, the scripture says, for God so loved the world, 1 John 3:16.
Yeah.
And then John 3:16, and then 1 John 3:16 says, okay, so we saw what Jesus did. Why don't we love our brothers and the sisters and our sisters in the same way? Why don't we lay our lives down? So I couldn't bring John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 together. So I decided I'm only going to speak to Christians. The interviews that I had was with Christians, parents, so they would want something better for the country, that still lived in South Africa and that were affluent. So they had the means to do something about it.
Okay.
And the fascinating thing that I saw was that we only have psychologically one of two ways in South Africa, and I would suggest the world, that we look at each other. So I look at you and I say, you are enriched.
Mm.
So you took what I had without working for it. And you look at me and you say, Bosov, you are entitled. You want what I have without working for it. And we look at each other in these two worlds that are so entrenched. So why doesn't it change? It's because we look at each other from a psychological perspective. I don't give you the benefit of the doubt because I've put you in a category. I've put you in a box. And then I saw a lot of Christians, business people, politicians, and so on, that try to build bridges between these two worlds. And these two worlds seem to be so far apart that these bridges collapse.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, so I tried, I failed, now I'm just going to look after me and mine. But in the study, I saw like this species of person that said, okay, so this bridge thing doesn't work. But what if I build a business, a Bahama Lodge, a political party, a ministry in the middle of these two worlds? And I allow these two worlds to gravitate towards each other, do something productively together to fix the world that is broken, to have God's kingdom come to earth in business, in politics, and ministry, and so on. And then allow people to gravitate back to their worlds, come together in a place, entrepreneurship, spiritual, corporate, and social, and fix things that are broken, having God's kingdom come to earth, discipling nations, and then going back to their spheres of influence. And I was gobsmacked. I said, oh, okay, so this
is what works. So we're talking catalyst events. So we're talking little by little.
Little by little, business by business, family by family, step by step. But it's a new model. I get so entrenched. And then somebody moved my cheese and I become dairy intolerant or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
But that realization had me move out of banking. So I was in banking for 25 years, and the Lord said, okay, so this realization, you now need to step out and help other entrepreneurs to build things in the middle. And that's what we've been doing for the past 3 years.
Okay, but now the question is, do they work? Because obviously if it's going to cost you too much money, if you're going to walk out there bankrupt because you couldn't get the unification thing happening, does this work?
It does. So I'll give you a quick example. I am involved, so in 2021, in the unrests, business people came together in, and what we were staring in the face in 2021 was food riots. KwaZulu-Natal, bad things happening. The security services gave us the information, business people, Christian business people in South Africa. Guys, we're staring food riots in the face. So what does that mean? It means that people won't have access to food, and then they kill each other to get food. So that's a food riot.
Yeah.
So we haven't had that in our country before, and the loss of life and livelihoods would have been devastating. So business people came together, unification, came together and said we need to do something. In a space of 2 weeks, we were able to raise money, buy 600 tons of food, and distribute that to 52,000 people in and around KwaZulu-Natal.
Proactively now?
No, that was in the riots.
Oh, the riots had already... Okay,
already
I understand.
Started.
Okay.
They said you've got a two-week window before there will be massive loss of life.
Okay.
Business people came together. We formed something called Heal Our Land, brought that together, and God worked together amazingly. Now, after that, the business people stopped working together. And I was saying, okay, so what is going to happen now? Do we want to now wait for another food riot before we work together? And then what we started doing, God was just so faithful. We started bringing together the church community, the faith community in a new way, in a spiritual entrepreneurial way. And we launched what is called Respond SA, where the church community, Catholic Church, Dutch Reformed Church, Presbyterians, Methodists, are coming together in a unified way to say, we need to prepare differently and respond differently to disasters. Now, the business people are seeing that the church is unified, and now the business people are slowly coming back and saying,
and
okay,
relevant.
So relevant. Church is relevant, and they are unified. So those two things together is having the business people's ears prick up and say, okay, so you want to be the hands and feet, and you're not cutting each other's hands and feet off. You are strengthening each other. I want to be part of that.
Two things I get out of this. Firstly, one person had to make the first call. There has to be that person of peace, the one person who starts calling the churches, because they don't do this on their own.
Yeah.
Someone there needs to be a leader of some kind who's credible enough that when they call him, the churches don't. The first thing the churches think is, yeah, you'll miss Garpy's deal. You want to, you know, if you get the most fame out of this thing, then people are going to flock to your church and I'm going to lose my influence. So it has to be someone who's wise enough, knows church, knows the dynamic when it comes to Christianity in South Africa, and also has got a foot in business. It's got to be, but you guys have a heart for raising the next generation of leaders globally. Is this part of the plan to get the right people at the right places to do this job?
Sure. Okay. So now you are jumping to a different part of my life.
Okay.
Beautiful part of my life. I 3 years ago, I was just, I was tired of trying to do the right thing in South Africa. So we're tired.
It is hard work. It's true.
In Sesotho, we say, so in Afrikaans, we say, ek is baie moeg. In Setswana, we say, kila pile tata. So, I mean, that it just is so expressive. I was tired. And then the Lord led me into the study, and I thought, okay, so Lord, there's something different here. And I literally had this cleft of the rock experience with the Lord. Elijah in the cleft of the rock saying, you know, I'm the only one. And, you know, people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And look at this business person and that politician and this preacher and so on. And the Lord was just so faithful in such a quiet voice where he said, okay, my boy, now dust yourself off. Go back the way you came. And go and anoint and mobilize the next generation. And I was like, okay, so now, Lord, what you're saying is I need to leave my like high-profile job and just think about the money that I can earn and give to the church. And the Lord just said, no, Now it is the time to mobilize the next generation. And then very quickly after, the gravity pull of my career and my way of doing things started tugging back and making me disobedient. And then I realized that Elijah, although he was under instruction, he never anointed Elisha. He worked alongside him. So now you can ask the question, was he disobedient? He never anointed Jehu. Now you can ask the question, was he disobedient? He never anointed Hazael. Now you can ask, was he disobedient? And I just realized that you can have an instruction and an invitation, a draw from the Holy Spirit into doing things differently. But there, even Elijah, there could be this pull, this gravitational pull back into your previous way of doing things. And I just realized that the Lord has to take me into a different place. So one of the spaces where we are involved in doing that is something called the Next Move. It's NXT Move. The website is nxt.global, and the whole focus there is how can we change the trajectory of Christianity in the next generation? And the answer there is to disciple the next generation in a different way. The next generation, I mean, they've said so many times to us, give me the unmitigated truth. Don't sugarcoat it.
Yes,
and
even if it's hard.
Moist worries and so on. Even if it's hard, give me the unmitigated truth. And then lead me to the hill that the Lord is inviting me to. Give me purpose. Show me what God's purpose is in my life. And I want to be able to step onto that hill, and I will die there for him. Mm. And the next generation is just beautifully, they've got this heart and this energy that the Lord would have us tap into. Mm. And just in the businesses and the stuff that we're busy with at the moment, my wife and I have this joy of inviting our children into things that we do together so that we can model it. If they don't see it modeled, how on earth would they be able to know what to do when we're away?
Yeah.
So legacy is not only what you leave behind, it's what you set in motion. So we're spending time just with our kids and discipling them into becoming just the great people that God has made them to be for a time like this in order to change the world for the better.
Our time is really up. I've got 1 minute for you. 1 minute. Speak to South Africa. You've learned such a lot. You've learned these lessons the hard way and everything like that. Is there one thing that you think, if South Africa knew this, it will help?
South Africa, we are living in a miracle time. The whole world has gone into what is referred to as global separatism. It is self-determination and self-preservation. We see that in Europe. We see that in the United States. God, in such a scary, dangerous time like 2024, gave us a gift of the GNU. A political way of us coming together in a government for national unity. It is a miracle. Whether it is like the perfect thing or whether you think it's the, you know, it's going to work or not, it is countercultural, it is against the tide in the world, and it is a miracle that we are living in. And I would have us open our eyes to the miracle that we live in and be part of it.
Jam is out. God is still God and still sovereign in South Africa. People want to follow you, socials or Pahama, I don't know. Choose one place where they can connect if they want to not miss out on what you've got to say more.
I want to invite you into the adventure that God has for you. So one of our businesses is called the Adventure Institute. So you can follow us there on adventureinstitute.co.za. And if you want to step into a new adventure in South Africa, in your life, into the epic adventure that God has for you, follow us there, and we'd love to be part of your journey.